I will speak on the subject of conservatism, nationalism, and immigration. There is indeed a trend throughout the world towards conservatism and the promotion with it of nationalism and the fear of immigrants and immigration issues. This trend of today is a reaction to a changing world, and you see it in different countries throughout the world because the change and what is occurring is of a global scale. Though there is no distinctive controlling body, controlling voice in the world, there is a worldwide dilemma. The world today has an extensive population. It is a population that is increasing and cannot be sustained with the resources that the world has. This lack of sustainability, combined with the pollution that has caused the climate situation, leaves the world in a critically unsustainable position. It is a global problem with no global body to address it fully and effectively. Therefore, each and every nation looks at how it views them and tries to protect themselves as best they can. And so you find a rising sentiment among people throughout the world in different countries that are more stable, less impacted thus far by climate change, less impacted by the political unrest. In those countries that are more stable, with more effective governments, you find a fearfulness of the amount of people wanting to come into the country. You find a growing number of immigrants throughout the world. And people in more stable countries in which the immigrants want to take residence are becoming fearful that they will lose their own cultural autonomy, their own ethnic autonomy, and their economic security, taking on the wheels and woes of the world. Because there is no global authority to turn to, each country must fend for themselves and do as best they can to protect themselves. And what you see is a general perception that there is danger. People may not be able to identify the danger other than caught coming from someone outside of their group, their nation, their culture, their religion. So, in a situation in which people begin to feel more and more threatened and overwhelmed by the number of people in trouble needing assistance, you find a reaction of self-preservation. And that reaction of self-preservation makes them want to turn away the troubles of the world and secure their nation, their culture, their religion, their group. In this type of circumstance, you find many inequities occur, and people can become cruel in their fear of what will happen if they allow so many needy people into their country, or they allow the presence of those of another religion who might overpower them in their dominance in their country, or their culture, or their race. So in a situation of threat, people tend to, as the old saying goes, circle the wagons. They tend to return to their primary groups with which they identify and try to strengthen those groups to keep them safe. You must remember that by biological nature, human beings are social animals. And as a social animal, it is in the group and in the welfare of the group that safety abides. People will even sacrifice their personal welfare for the group because the greater safety is in the welfare of the group. So when the primary identifying groups become threatened in some way, people become defensive in their attitudes and approaches. And this is what you see in the world today. A situation of potential threat throughout the world, of regions of the world which are becoming less inhabitable, increasing population that is unsustainable, and more displaced people due to the ravages of lands becoming untenable, unsustainable to live in. You have more needy people. You have more crime. You have more violent groups forming in those regions, and more wars in those regions. And so the human cost is very high in those regions, and the people flee, seeking shelter in more stable and secure areas of the world where there is more ability to simply lead an ordinary life. I have said before that this immigration cannot be stopped. I gave the example of the Indians. Some accepted the settlers, the immigrants who came to America, and some fought them. But in the end, neither psychology stopped the immigration. It was unstoppable due to the needs of the world, due to the extreme need which drove the people to America. The needs of immigrants today are even greater. So the world is in trouble, and you are seeing the initial response to the trouble that is brewing in the world. There is a rise in population that is unsustainable, combined with a diminishment of inhabitable lands and resulting violence, wars, gangs, and extremely difficult living situations. And as a result of those variables, populations are on the move. And stable countries are threatened. Their stability is threatened. They don't know what to do. They're not used to working together in a serious way. So the solution becomes to try to defend themselves. Other countries, such as the EU members, try to work collectively. And distribute the refugees. But their psychology also will not be sustainable. There will be too many refugees. So either there is war on the border and the taking of lives, or there is the allowing of refugee populations, which will bring down the nations of the world. Because those nations that have stable economies and resources, order and law, can only sustain caring for a certain number of needy people. Beyond that point, those economies will become unstable. Those economies will fall. Those laws and order will crash. So, taking in poor and needy people, starving people, beyond a certain quarter will destabilize nations. Fighting them in the border, closing borders, will be a bloody mess. Neither of these solutions address the problem. The problem is on a global scale, and no nation is able to address it. It can only be addressed globally. The problem lies in the diminishment of usable land due to climate change, and that problem is soon to become extreme and to affect everyone. So those nations trying to close their borders, fearing people from displaced areas, will soon find themselves in deep trouble also within their borders. And those refugees who have sought security in what they think are stable countries will soon find that where they have gone is not so good. The world is in trouble. Not one country, not another. Countries are seeking solutions to what people in their gut, in their feeling, sense as trouble. And that is why you have this conservatism and nationalism rising. That is why you have this anti-immigration rising. They're trying to find solutions. But the solutions cannot be found in either the conservative approach or in the liberal approach. Both approaches will lead to destruction. Neither will lead to a safe country. Those borders which get closed will not stay closed without guns. And when they are pushed and pushed, it will be terrible. To defend them will be a war against innocence. And will it stop the problem? No. Still, it will come. The solution is not in either approach. The solution is only in all of the people of the world, all of the leaders of the world, all of the countries of the world joining together, not in a somewhat disempowered United Nation, but in a not in a climate accord agreement that has no meat behind it, no substance, but in a solid, united confederation that will create global standards and will globally address the global problems causing the humanitarian situation, which will grow vastly in magnitude in the near future. Until such a governing body can be there, and when such a governing body is there, this will be the beginning of the Katrian society, and it may be harsh in order to impose law and order in what can become a lawless situation. Corruption, greed, corrupt government is a natural result of the type of forces at work in today's world. But so is the reaction of those who put honor, duty, and the collective good at the front. Thus will rise the Katrians, the warrior class, those who put nobility above personal welfare and will look only to the collective good. The world is moving into a critical period. People sense this, and in sensing it, they want to pull in, circle the wagons, find safety in their clan, their religion, their nation, in whatever group they have found safety in the past. This is the nature of people. People are social, and the welfare of their primary social group, which keeps them secure, will be foremost to them. Only when they begin to see that they must unite, that the clans, the religions, the nations must unite if they are to survive. And they must come under the rule of those noble warriors, those who will take action and set the laws. Then it will change. The world will never be as you have known it. It is changing. So this conservative movement will not produce a world as it was. It produces a different world. And out of that, the movement in reaction to that will produce yet a different world. So, does it make sense to you what is going on today?
Yeah, it does make sense. When you're talking about global governing body compared to United Nations, what that will mean? Confederation of countries?
It will mean that that global body is empowered more than any national body. This is not the case of the United Nations.
And what are pathways to bring that about, or what small little micro steps can be practically done to distribute these talks or do something to
the United Nations, the EU, the Global Accords? They are all efforts. But what will bring it about is necessity. When both the liberal approach and the conservative approach fail, and imminent disaster is there, people will reevaluate, and they will see there is only one solution, and that solution is to address the problems globally. Not the EU. The EU cannot address the problem. All it can do is try to distribute the current level of immigrants. But what when there are 1,000 times as many immigrants? Will the EU be able to distribute them without bringing down the entire EU and all the countries in it? No. Then what will they do? Do you think that closing the borders in England will last? Do you think that they have the military power and the capacity to close those borders and not crash within into dust and then be overrun? The United States can close the borders in a humanitarian shamefulness. Then the United States also has the ability to adapt and accept the current level of immigration. But when it is 100 times more, 1,000 times more, what to do then? when parts of the United States become uninhabitable and the immigrants are not from foreign countries, but they are from other states, what to do then? Try to crash the Canadian border with American citizens? And then what does Canada do? Close their borders? Defend them with military against Americans? Or let them overrun Canada? You see? Where this goes? In such chaos, people will want law and order. They will want someone who can save them. And they will see that the groups and structures that they have built are not doing it. But right now, the problem is just beginning. And people still think that they can turn to their primary groups that they have relied on in the past, and they will be able to secure them. But that will not work. However, I am most optimistic, though it may get difficult. I am most optimistic that a new dawn arises and the world will change in ways that are dynamic and will bring about a revolution that will bring a one human society that is orderly, and in which human beings may thrive, live in peace, and have very good lives. The future of humanity is bright, and a time will come when people live in order and harmony and have very good and very long lives on this planet. But before that, there will be a time of chaos. It is soon approaching, and it is unavoidable at this stage. People say that if there are only so many years to avoid the climate crisis, but the practical person knows that human beings will push that edge. They will not change quickly. The greed of capitalism will not fall without a fight. The world of today will not be the world of tomorrow. But there is a change coming, a great change. And all of those things which are out of balance will be restored to balance. And human beings will be on this planet when that is finished, as will other species, though not as many as now exist. and this balance will, the planet will come back to harmony and to balance. All things change in this manifest world. And when they go out of balance, the resultant reaction brings back the center point and balance. This is the natural way. All right. Are there any questions?
What is the time frame? 20 years? 10 years? 5 years?
What was the time frame for the severe impact of global change 40 years ago of this global warming? What did they say the time change was? Can you anyone tell me how long they thought this problem would take?
A century and a half.
Even 20 years ago or 15 years ago, how long did they think it would take?
50 years, much longer, next century, something.
And 5 years ago, how long did they think it would take?
Longer than it seems now, anyway.
And now, in the latest reports of this year, how long do scientists say before we feel the impact? Oh, it's already occurring, huh? And 5 years from now, 10 years from now. But it's already occurring and its impact is at the border. Mm-hmm. And this is just the beginning. All right.
Okay, thank you very
much. All right, so what I have a question.
Give us
yes.
practical.
Yes.
So my question is, you know, the more we've thought about this together, the more I'm reminded of the emphasis that Baba in physical form gave to this samaj, this concept of samaj. And even in such a few minutes that I had with Baba in physical form for PC, as with many people I talked to, He talked about which samaj they were from and spoke to them about this, which samaj, you know, we're talking Americans, you know, where were your ancestors from and so forth. And as Baba, as you've been explaining this near-term future that's coming with enormous movements of people all over the place, the image that comes to me is that in any geographic region, maybe hosting a very broad range of cultural peoples, language groups, religious groups, the people will be a geographically mixed up, like in a mixed salad. And that for people to have some kind of reference group along the lines of the psychology that you've just spoken of, that people will be living side by side with everyone from everywhere, but that they'll be associating and doing some daily economic activities with people from their, quote, samaj, from their own cultural grouping, for efficiency and to help people be successful. Is this a sensible thinking?
Samaj changes. The nature of the society, the nature of the primary identity group changes. If you look at people 1,000 years ago, or 5,000 years ago, 10,000 years ago, in any location, different cultures have arisen, come to fruition, and died away. It doesn't mean all the people died. They changed their samaj. So in the Indus Valley, the Harappi culture was there. And that culture died. Does that mean every last person who was a part of that society died? No. They went through hardship. They moved on. They became part of something else. People change. Ancient Egypt was a great society. The people were identified there. That society is long dead. What happened to the people with their identity in that samaj? They moved on. They acquired new identities. The world will indeed blend. Race, national origin, religious background. All of these things will be mixed and commingled. Until they become simply identities of ancestry, not of one's personal primary samaj. Primary samajas will be reorganized in this process. What our nations today may maintain as primary samajas of the future, but as part of a larger samaj. Just as nations became the broader samaj of different regional samajas. Religions and spirituality of today will be neighbors. They will have to learn how to live together and to find their spiritual commonalities. Thus, those institutions and primary groups or samaj established in the past, in the wake of the Vaishan era, that era of the merchants, will have to find a new orientation in the era of the warriors, in the Kshatriyan era. The world is changing. The orientation and values are changing. It will settle, but there is upheaval, and the sins of excess will need to be dealt with first. And the world brought back into peace and harmony. So there will not be the samaj of certain religions or certain racial groups. There will be a mix and mingle. And they will find new identities in a new orderly world. One that may be a bit orderly for all of you. But such strict order is what will prevent the excesses that society has engaged in today's world. People will remember this serious disaster that it has caused, and thus they will want such order. Does it make sense to you? The samajas will restructure.
Yes.
Yes.
What we can do practically?
Follow Dharma. Fight for Dharma. Support the cooperative approaches between nations. Create places of haven for people in trouble. Create spiritual sanctuary for people. And when you can, support the creation of physical sanctuaries. That you can do. You can bring people to spiritual life, that they may have spiritual courage to follow Dharma and the divine connection to carry them through on the path of Dharma, through change and challenge. Do your work, your spiritual work. It is the greatest service you can do in this time. The more people are connected to their divine source, the greater their ability to manage these times and to themselves be agents of positive change. All right?
Thank
you. All right. Namaskar.
Namaskar.